Tonight I have the privilege of leading us in a time of worship in the Word. And as I think about it, it's definitely a privilege to have the opportunity to be used of God in this way, but it's also a very daunting task to come before people and say, this is what God says. And so with that in mind, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word of truth that you've given to us. Thank you for this just this time of year as well, that we can remember all that you have done for us, Lord, that you humbled yourselves to save wretches like us, that you have done all that is necessary, Lord, for our salvation. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us now through your word. That we would hear it, that we would do it, that we would just be worshipers of you, Lord. Thank you again for the opportunity we have to come together here as believers, the freedom that we have. And I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be looking into the book of James. And into the first chapter, but before we started, I wanted to just look at a couple of passages just as a way of reminder to kind of set our thinking in the right way. And the first one I want to look at is, you don't have to turn there, I'll just kind of go through it quick, is found in John chapter 14, and this is just prior to the time when Jesus is going to feel the full weight of the wrath of God on the cross. And these are among the final words that he says to his disciples. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then again, John writes in another place, and this is in 1 John, and he says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whosoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same manner in which he walked. So I just wanted to start off with those passages as a way of reminders. You know, for me, I need to be reminded of those all the time. And I think just for clarity purposes, just to make sure we have the timing of things right, these verses they're for believers. You know, because he first loved us, that's how we express love back to him, through our obedience. It's, you know, I just don't want there to be any confusion that obedience comes first. It's because he loved us. It's because we live in faith. That's how we can obey. So that's why our obedience is an expression of love back towards Christ. And I wanted to start here and think about this, because we're going to be looking at a passage in the book of James about how we handle the Word of God, you know, how we deal with the Word of God on a day-to-day basis, how it is that we are affected by the Word of God. And Deb asked me to put a title on it, and I couldn't think of one at the time, but as I thought of it after, I thought that basically where we're going in this message is we're going to be talking about having a consuming love for Christ, which is evidenced by how we handle the Word of God. So our love for Christ is directly connected to how we deal with the Word of God on a day-to-day level, or moment by moment, second by second, how we are dealing with the Word of God in our lives. And that's like the spiritual thermometer, if you will, of our love for Christ, of what we're doing with what we know of his word. How are we dealing with it? And this is these truths here, I think, throughout my life as a believer, I've been constantly bombarded by the truths of the book of James here as a believer. And I hadn't actually thought of this picture of how it works until on Monday. Pastor Terry said something about God force feeding him the word, and that's exactly what it is for me. And I thought of that picture of how God constantly is reminding us of certain truths, and he's so merciful and gracious to remind us over and over again of those truths. And I thought of that picture of God is like that that mother that is force feeding the baby. The baby's defiant, turning its head, doesn't want the food or the medicine or whatever it is. And oftentimes that's how God is with us. He's constantly reminding us of truths, things that we need to live out, things that we need to have just, you know, I guess, pounded into our thinking. And this passage for me is one of those passages. It's one of those things that God has constantly reminded me of and constantly brought to my attention because of it's just so practical in nature and practical in day-to-day living. And just a quick look at the overview of the book of James is James was written as a very practical letter. It's written to Jews that have been dispersed. And his style of writing is different from Paul's. Paul starts with doctrine and then the practical aspect of that. And within the book of James, he has them right together at the same time. He's dealing with doctrine and then carrying out of that doctrine immediately. And so he's very practical in his presentation of the truth. God has used that about him. It's kind of set up like a wisdom book. And with that in mind, I'd like to read through the passage that we'll be looking at. So I'll give you a moment to turn there. We'll be looking at James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. And as you turn there, the goal that I have, or where I'd like us to get, and the goal that I had for myself as I was going through this passage, as I was studying this passage, is the goal is for me, is in my prayer for all of you, is that we would be driven closer to Christ, in our love, our dependence on Him, by being driven closer to the Word of God, because it's only in the Word of God that we get a picture of who Christ is. We can understand who Christ is. It's our source of knowing Him. We don't have anything outside of this. This is what God has given us. This is revealed Word. This is how we can know Him. This is how we can know Christ. And so as we look through this, that's my goal for myself, for you as you listen, to be driven to Christ through being driven to His Word. And I'll read the portion now here. James chapter 1, verse 19. I have the ESV. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doings. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I think from the beginning here, I just want to go through one thing just for clarity's sake. And because there's a bunch of different views about where James is going in verse 19. And I just want to point out a few things of how many times the Word of God is referred to within this passage. If you look back to verse 18, he says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. And then in verse 21, he refers to the Bible or the Word of God as the implanted Word. He further clarifies it and says, this is the Word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, it's the Word. Verse 23, the Word. Verse 25, he refers to it as the perfect law and also the law of liberty. And so within this passage, James is focusing our attention toward the Word. And even in verse 19, I think this is the case. I don't think this is necessarily a proverbial type usage that James has here. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I don't think he's using that in the proverbial sense. We know that those are true things from the book of Proverbs, some other portions of Scripture, but I think he's directing these things directly toward the Word of God. Because right in verse 18, he's talking about how God has brought us forth by the word of truth, and then in verse 21, he's saying we're to put aside all this abundance of wickedness and receive the word. So I just want to put that out there so that we can, there's different views of this. I'm not alone in presenting this as being in reference or in connection within the context to the word of God. I don't think it's disconnected from the context. I think that he's still within the context of the Word of God when he says this. So with that in mind, he begins here with directing us towards how we are to act toward the Word of God. And as we go through this, there's five principles that we see that will help us in cultivating a love for Christ, or we could look at it another way, five principles for directing us in handling the Word of God in a God-pleasing manner. And the first one we have here is in verse 19, and this is, I had to use all R's, so it kind of doesn't work with maybe the rest of the text. So it's rapid to hear. So we have to have this swiftness to hear. And like I said, this is in reference to the Word of God. He's calling the believers here, calling us to be swift to hear the Word of God, that we'll be ready to hear it, that we are to take advantages of the opportunity to hear the Word of God, that we are to make it a priority. The way that it's worded here, it would necessitate that we make this a priority in our lives, the hearing of the Word of God. If we're to be quick to do it, if we're to be quick to put ourselves in a position where we're under the hearing of the Word of God, then it's something that we have to prioritize in our lives. And as I think through this in my own life, it's unbelievable how much we can let other things get in the way. We have the communication right here written down. We have many copies of it. You can get it online. You can download sermons. You can do whatever. We have such availability of it, and yet we can miss having this communication from our sustainer, the one that sustains us. We can miss having that time of just hearing the word, of being under it, of placing ourselves in a position where it's a priority to hear what he has for us. And like I said in the beginning, this is the source that we have for knowing who Christ is. We don't have another source. This is what God has given us. God has revealed himself in this book. And that's what we have. So to be quick to hear it, it's be quick to hear the words of our Savior, the one that has died for us, the one that is sustaining us, the one that has given us life and breath. And it's just amazing that we just put so many other things in the way, and that it isn't a priority of our lives to be under the hearing of God's word. Like I said, the application of this is, there's many applications of this. We come to church, we can go online, there's all kinds of ways that you can put yourself under the hearing of the Word of God. But the concept that he has here, that it's to be quick, it's to be, we're to be ready to be in a place where we are listening to the Word of God. And he continues on from here, and secondly, we have a reluctance to speak. And I kind of alluded to this a little bit in the beginning, where he says we are to be slow to speak. And I think this speaks of a reverence for the Word. And if you just turn over a page into James chapter 3, you'll see that he picks up this topic again. And he's very specific in how he deals with this topic. And starting in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man able to bridle his whole body. So there's a seriousness in, you know, that's what I was saying in the beginning. It's a serious matter that I'm coming up here and saying this is what God says. And we need to have that reverence for the Word of God, that we have that, we're slow to speak, we're not careless with the Word of God, we're not careless in that we just, you know, we're not mindful of the context in which things are said, or we're not mindful to exercise a good biblical interpretation. You know, I think he's calling us here to just have that reluctance in our speech because of taking care of what is being said. And if you think of some of the words that he uses in this passage, he's talking about the perfect law of God, the law of liberty, this word that is able to save. And so this slow to speak is a slowness in putting the Word of God out there. And I think just by way of application, as I was thinking through that, you know, what does that look like? Because we have commands, you know, direct commands that we are supposed to preach the Word, we're supposed to speak the Word, we're supposed to share the gospel. And I think it's just a direct application for this. I was thinking of just that, the presentation of the gospel and how we go about that. And I was thinking of Peter's words. And Peter says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." So that's 1 Peter 3:15. But, you know, here's a direct application of what we have here. We are supposed to speak. We are called to speak. We are called to share the gospel. But the wording that Peter uses there is that there needs to be a preparation. We need to have a time of preparing. We need to have an understanding of what the Word says so that we can carefully and correctly bring it forth. And he says there to be ready to give it a defense, to be ready to answer. And so for me, when I was going through this, that was helpful, just to have an actual example of what that would look like. You know, it's this slow to speak, this reverence for the Word of God, this reluctance to speak has to do with having a respect of the Word of God, knowing that when we bring it forth to somebody, we're saying this is what God says. And so we need to have that care in being sure that that's what He is indeed saying. So James, first he talks about our hearing, that we are to be rapid in our hearing, that we are to be reluctant in our speech because of our respect for what the Word of God says. And the third one here is, he says, and slow to anger. And this one, when I was looking at this, I wrestled with this a lot because it, you know, like I said, the context is with the Word of God, and what's he getting at here? And I think as we read down through, you can see that he's getting at our reception of the Word of God, and he's relating this to how we receive the Word of God. And so this is how we receive the Word of God. Are we, you know, are we resigned to receive the Word? Are we submitting to the Word? Where, you know, we're hearing it, we're respecting it, and then next, are we submitting to it? And this concept of anger he brings forward here, I thought of a couple of cases within the Scripture where we see, you know, anger towards the presentation of the Word of God. And, you know, Stephen, it says that when Stephen was preaching the Word to them, they stopped their ears, they didn't want to hear, and then they stoned them. And Paul had the same type of situation in Galatia where he was presenting the truth to them. And Paul actually asked, well, am I your enemy now? Because I've been presenting the truth. So there's some examples of what the anger might look like. And so I think this anger that he's speaking of here is anger towards the presentation of truth. You know, how are we receiving this truth? How are we accepting this truth? Are we submitting to truth? Or are we fighting against it? And I think oftentimes when we come to the Bible, we have to be ready and willing to be, you know, whittled away by God. You know, God's going to whittle us away and make us into what He wants us to be. And, you know, a lot of times that's painful for us. You know, when we look into the mirror of God's Word, we are shown what we are really like, and it's not good. And so, you know, there can be anger there. We can fight against that. We can have resentment there. We can have a dislike for that. And so these issues, James is saying, all right, put these things away. The language he uses in verse 21 here, it's like casting off a dirty piece of clothing. He says, all right, therefore put away all filthiness. The word put away is like that casting away of a piece of clothing. Filthiness is a word that only James uses, and it's only used here. I think he uses another form of it later on in James, but it's like a dirty piece of clothing, like a filthy piece of clothing. He's saying, you know, throw that aside, throw that filthiness aside, throw away that dirty garment. And the tense is such that it's as if this has occurred, this is happening, that this is a part of our lives as believers. And then he says, you know, receive with meekness the implanted word. So we're called to be receptive of the word of God, that we are to receive the word of God with meekness, with humility, that we have that submission to it, that we have that understanding that this is the word of God before us, and as the word of God, we have to submit fully to it. And so James, as he's going through this, I mean, he's really pinning us down to what it is to live by faith on a day-to-day level. I mean, if we're to do what the Bible says, if we are to do these things, that's what living by faith is. It's taking God's word and saying, all right, this is what God says, now I'm going to do it. And that's what living by faith is. And so he's saying to receive this word, submit to this word. And he's calling it the implanted word here, which is a word that means to be like grafted in or to be inborn. Or it's a word that God has put within us as believers. We have this word in us as believers. And I like that he adds like a little clarifier here, you know, which word am I talking about? Just so there's no confusion, we're talking about this word of God that is able to save our souls. You know, this is the saving word of God. That's what we're talking about here, this word that we are supposed to be submitting to. You know, this word of God that has saved us as believers. Also, when we look through the Bible, it's a word that is sustaining us in salvation, and it's a word that finally will complete our salvation. So the word of God is part of our salvation from beginning to end. And so it's that sustaining word. So he says we are to be resigned to receive this word. We are to be submitted to this word. We are to be prepared in that too. If you know, thinking of that, what he says in the beginning of verse 21, he says that we're to put away all filthiness and wickedness. So we need to have in this receiving of the word and this submitting to the word, there's a preparation. We're to be prepared to receive the word because of our reverence for the word. And so, you know, he's saying, cast all those things off and submit to the word of God. In verse 22, I think James is kind of bringing it all together here. He's putting the concepts together for us. And he's taking the concept of being ready to hear the word, having that readiness to listen to what the word says. The concept of respect, reverence for the word, knowing what it says, being slow to speak it, and also this concept of being submitting to it, and he blends us all together in a concept where we have it's a ready to do, that we need to be prepared to do what it says. It's not enough to just hear what God says, but we have to do it. And so he says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And the concept he has here is if we think that just hearing the word of God is enough, if we're just resting on that we've heard it, he's saying that we're self-deceiving. It's a term used for like making a miscalculation. We've assessed the situation and we've made a total miscalculation. Because we've said, all right, we've done enough, we've heard, we've listened to the word of God, I'm good. And he's saying, no, that's self-deceptive. It's a total miscalculation of what is going on here. And I mean that has to do with the nature of truth itself, I think. When we think of truth, you know, truth is unbending, truth is absolute, and the nature of truth is such that when we come up against truth, we have to line up with how we think with it, and not the other way around. So when we come to God's Word and we hear what it says, you know, because it is true, we have to mold ourselves or be molded into what God is presenting for us. So a simple hearing of it isn't enough. It's an actual application of it that God is requiring, that we hear it and that we do it. And then as James is, as I think, bringing these points together here, he gives us an illustration. And this illustration is, I think, very helpful when we look through it, when he exposes to us with this just only hearing the word of how we are deceiving ourselves. And he says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror." We'll stop there for now. I like the ESV translation there where he says, "looks intently." I think we... You know, sometimes you might think that this is kind of just a flyby look in the mirror just to, like, check to make sure the tie is straight. But the way that, you know, in Kittles, he defines this as, like, it's a study. It's an actual observation. So this individual has actually made an observation. He's actually looked. He's looked in the mirror, which is most likely a piece of polished metal, like bronze or something like that, that's polished. So there's, you know, you got to actually kind of look to see what you look like. It's not, you can't just do a quick glance like in a mirror that we have. So he takes this look. He's actually makes an observation about himself within the mirror. And he's looking at his natural face, the face that he's born with. So it's something that he should be familiar with in a sense. And then it says in verse 24, after he takes this observation, makes this observation, says he looks at himself and goes away. The word "looks" there is the same word for like looking intently. He's just repeating the word. It's a compound word. And he's saying looking intently, and forgets what he was like. So this is, I guess this is like a short-term memory loss type thing or whatever, but it's, you know, immediately there's a forgetting of what he looked like. He looks in the mirror, he makes an actual observation to see what he looks like, and walks away, and as soon as he turns away, we get the idea that he doesn't remember what he looked like. You know, it's like hearing the word, it's like, yep, that's the word of God, we heard it, I'm done. You know, that's what this guy has done. He's done that same thing. He's made this observation, and he walks away, and it completely escapes him. In the latter half of the illustration, James changes around the meaning here a little bit. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty," so now he's comparing this mirror to the law of God. So the mirror that he's talking about is the law of God. It's what he calls here the perfect law or the law of liberty. So it's looking into the Word. It's the Word reflecting back to us what we are like, because it's God's view of what we are like. So we're getting a clear and accurate view of what we are really like. And so the one who does this, who looks into the perfect law, and he changes the word for looks here. The word "looks" is it's a word that means to like stoop down, to like bend down, to study intently. And as I was thinking of this, it reminded me of, and I'm sure you've all seen this, is, you know, there's an anthill out there and the little kids are out there, and as soon as they see the anthill, and they see all the ants moving right around, they squat down in that position that none of us can get into, and they get right down in there, and they study intently what's going on. It might only be for a few moments that they're fixated on it, but they're completely fixated on what's going on with this anthill. And so this word he uses here, this looking down, this looks into, it's like a bending down, it's a stooping down, it's an examination of what's going on. And so when we are examining the Word, when we take a look at this perfect law of God, this law of liberty, you know, again, by definition, it's true, and truth, by definition, should affect us. And so this one is, he's taking this studied look, you know, an intent look. He's fixated. And then it says he perseveres. He continues on. He stands firm. He stands up in what he has seen, and not a doer, or not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, or a doer that works, or a doer that does, and he will be blessed in his doing. And so the true blessing that we have in hearing the word is hearing it and understanding it, having that stooping down, that intent, look into it, and practicing it on a day-to-day basis, you know, moment by moment, minute by minute. How are we dealing with the Word of God? He uses some interesting tenses here too. He's saying that this one is becoming, where am I here? I didn't bring the Greek text, so I'm not going to see where the word is in the ESV here. But anyways, the concept is that this person is becoming a doer of the word, that it's a perpetual, continual thing. It's something that is a practice within their lives, that it's a pattern that's over and over again, this practice of what the Word of God says to do. And not being a hearer who quickly forgets. As if not being an auditor of the Word of God, you know. I think that's a concept that's helpful here. We're not auditors of the Word of God, you know, like when you audit a class, you can sit in on the class, you can hear what's going on, you can learn from it, but you're not doing the work, you're not taking the test, you're not doing anything like that. And being an auditor of the Word of God is not enough, you know. We're to be a full-blown student of the Word of God. We are to be committed to doing what it says, you know. That's what God is requiring of us here. That we're to be, ready to do the things that are there. We hear it, we do it. I think just to shorten up maybe the outline here, it's we hear, we receive, we do. I mean, that's what he's getting at here. That's the practice that we are to be about in our lives. In the last portion here, of what James is going through here, verses 26 and 27. I don't think we'll spend much time at looking what is there or what he's presenting there, but I think just for our purposes, taking kind of an overall view of what's going on here, I think we have James presenting a resolution or something along those lines to continue. He's giving us an example of what carrying out the this process of hearing, receiving, and the Word of God. He's showing us an example of the process of what this looks like, a resolution to continue in these things. And he says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, that's a topic that he gets to later. And I think here he's using in more of a proverbial sense and overall arching sense of how we use our tongues. It does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And as I said, we won't really get into that much, but just look at it as James putting out there a resolution to continue in these things that, you know, we're to be about doing the things that God has for us, and he gives us some immediate examples here. It's the one that's a person that might have a concept that they're religious, that they're good, that they are right. He's saying it's the person that is doing what God is saying. It's the person that does these things, and he gives an example of what these things are. It's, you know, care for orphans and widows, and care to keep oneself unspotted or unstained by the world. And so just to kind of recap what we've gone through here before we finish up, James, I think, is focusing us in on what it is to handle the Word of God in an appropriate manner. And remember that, you know, how we handle the Word of God is a reflection of our love for Christ. Because, you know, that's why we looked at those in the beginning. you know, what we do with the Word of God, how we treat the Word of God, reflects how we love Christ. If we love Christ, then we love the Word of God. We love the revealed Word of God. And just to recap here, we need to have this mindset in where we are, we're swift to hear, we're rapid in hearing, we're taking advantage of the opportunity to hear the Word of God, to be under the teaching of the Word of God, to have that feeding perpetually in our lives. We need to have a reluctance to speak it, to make sure that we clearly understand what God is saying. So that means that we got to put the work in to understand it, to study it, to know what it says. We have to have that resignation to receive it, you know, to be ready to submit to it, saying this is what God says and that is how it is. This is what God says and so that's what I must do. And so we have to have that submission to the Word of God, that receiving it with humility, accepting what God says, even though that, you know, when we look at the mirror of God's Word, we see that we're ugly. It's we need to receive that and grow in that. And then we have the concept of that we need to be ready to do what God's Word says. We have to be ready to do it. As soon as we hear it, we receive it, and then we do it. We have to be like the child there that stoops down and is fully engrossed in what's going on, and then carrying it out immediately. And it's interesting too, like thinking of this, the illustration of the man looking in the mirror and then leaving immediately and forgetting. You know, that's insanity, and that's how we act with the Word of God. That, you know, we act in a manner that is insane. That's the only way that I can think to describe it, because we have what God says, we have His revealed Word to us, we have it taught to us, we hear it, we have it and we read it, and then we don't do it. You know, and we all do that. We all have this problem. This is an issue that we all have. There's nothing short of insanity that we have this, and that we don't do it. And then lastly, I think he gives us this resolution to continue on in the things, to continue on in just doing what God has presented to us, to continue on and carrying these things out, that we are permanently in this process of becoming doers of the Word. We're doing it over and over again. And so how does my personal handling of the Word of God, how does that reflect my love for Christ? You know, what does God see in me as far as how I am handling the Word of God? Am I carrying out what the Word of God says? Am I doing the things that are there? And I think this is something we all have to ask ourselves. You know, how are we handling this Word of God? Because how we handle the Word of God does show where our love for Christ is. And if we are lovers of Christ, then we are to be lovers of the Word of God. We are to be those that carry out what the Word of God says. And this passage here, I think this is probably one of the most challenging and abrasive passages you can come to, because it gets us at every moment of our lives, you know, because it's what we're doing with the Word of God at every moment that we are involved in. So what are we doing with the Word of God? How are we handling the Word of God? Where is the Word of God in our priority in our lives? Because this reflects how we love our Savior, you know. That's just how it is. That's how it works. And so again, as I said in the beginning, my prayer for myself and for all of us here is that we would be driven in our love for Christ by being driven to the Word of God. And that's my prayer for all of us, that we would have that love for Christ such that we are lovers of the Word of God, and that we handle it correctly, and that we do what it says. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Word that is such a challenge for us, Lord, that it That it speaks to us, Lord, where we need to be spoken to. That it exposes us. That it shows us where we are so weak and so sinful. Lord, I pray that our love for you, Lord, would grow. And because of that, our love for your word would grow, Lord. I pray that we would do the things that are here, Lord. That we would live this life of faith that you call us to. Doing the things that your word says. Thank you again for just preserving your word for us throughout the centuries so that we could have a copy of our own. Pray that you'd help us not to neglect it. Pray that you would keep us mindful, Lord, that we need to feed from it every day, Lord. Pray that through it all, Lord, that we would express towards you a love that is that you are so worthy of, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.